You're listening to Vatican Radio. Though there are no general audiences in the Vatican during these summer months, tourists and pilgrims continue to flock to St. Peter's, including many musicians and choirs who come for the unique experience of performing inside the Basilica. Recently, the choir of Sydney Sussex College, Cambridge, came to sing a programme of ancient and modern music under the expert eye of their musical director, David Skinner, a well-known researcher and producer of medieval and Renaissance compositions. I caught up with David and with choir member Camilla Wehmeyer to find out more about the group and about their 10-day Italian tour. Tell us first of all a little bit about the tradition of music there at Sydney Sussex. David, you're the musical director. I understand that the college, this particular college, is something of a seedbed for professional young musicians. Just tell us a bit about the history of it.
It is. There are 31 colleges in the University of Cambridge, and Sydney, I suppose, is right in the middle. It's the last to be founded amongst the older colleges. So the first college was in 1209, Sydney was in 1596. The next one after that was Downing in 1800. So we're right in the middle of the pack. Traditionally, the musical colleges in Cambridge are King's, John's, Trinity. And it's really since we've raised money for the directorship of music, the new directorship of music, I'm the first one, we've been able to really explode musically. And my post is endowed. We have wonderful instruments. And now we've got a choir that really stands alongside the best in Oxford and Cambridge.
But this is building on a tradition from the past centuries, isn't it?
Precisely. The English choral tradition really got going in the 15th century in a big way. And then, of course, the Reformation happened. We broke with Rome, for which many apologies. But we did maintain this choral tradition that is very much intact until this day. Indeed, Cambridge probably has the most concentrated set of choral musicians anywhere in the world. And it's just the size of a small market town.
Apart from your job there at the college, you're also a researcher and a performer, aren't you, and a producer of early music?
Yes. That's my main forte, is I'm a researcher, editor of early music from about 1400 to 1650. I founded a group called the Cardinals Music back in 89 and now run my own professional group, Alamire, and now appear on various media, television and radio. But Sydney is really my route, and it's wonderful working with students, because it's a very different experience than working with professional musicians. I mean, in many ways, I prefer working with students because I see them day in and day out.
Camilla, this is your opening. We're very lucky to have you with us here in studio today. Tell us a bit about your interest. Did you come to Sydney because of its musical tradition?
Yes, well, I came to Cambridge because I just love music, the choral tradition, which is a lot of what Cambridge is about. And I also wanted to study music academically as well. So really, Cambridge seemed like the natural choice, and specifically my interests were with early music, and Sydney Sussex is really the number one place to go, I think.
Where does that interest in early music come from in your case?
Well, I think for me, growing up in a Christian household, and I was first introduced to choral singing when I was a young child, went to the local church choir, and from then it's sort of just been a very important part of my life.
This tour here in Italy, you're not just performing early music, though, are you? It's everything from medieval to very recent compositions.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's always best not to put all your musical eggs in one basket. So the first half of our programme really explores music of the Renaissance, and particularly on this tour, music that would have been known in Rome. So lots of Palestrina, Clemens non Papa, and Josquin. So composers that we know sort of worked and sang in the Sistine Chapel. So very exciting for us that we get to sing Mass in St. Peter's. Very, very exciting indeed.
Is Is this the first time for all of your choir members? Have any of them been here before, had an experience like this before?
Well, we go on an Italian tour, a big Italian tour, once every 3 years, and this is the fourth time I've done it. But this is the second year running that we've been to Rome. It's the first time we'll be singing in the Vatican.
What does that mean to you, Camilla? As you say, grown up very much within the Church of England tradition, what does it mean to you to sing in St. Peter's Basilica?
Well, it's just absolutely incredible. I remember I was on the tour 3 years ago when we visited Rome and came to the Vatican, and I think that none of us expected that we would be actually singing there.
Some favourite pieces in the programme that you'll be singing?
Yes, we're doing some Palestrina, Sicut Lilium from the Song of Songs, just an absolutely beautiful piece, and then a piece by Clemens Non Papa, a composer who was working at the time. I can't remember which number Clement he was, but he was distinguished from the Pope by being Non Papa, and a great composer, actually. Another piece from the Song of Songs there. What's exciting for me is we're going to sing the College Grace, Oculi Omnium, is what we sing before our meals, but also as a general prayer. And I compose the Amen at the end. So we get to sing this in the Vatican. So that's a first for us as well. And we'll finish with a piece by a modern composer, Ola Jalo, who is Norwegian-born and now lives in the USA, and an up-and-coming composer, very popular.
So a very eclectic mix. It must be difficult to choose what you're going to do for a programme like this, isn't it? Or do you always try and fit into the context somehow?
It's down to what we're doing in the year. So this year we just made a record of Victorian big cathedral anthems. So we're touring that as well. If we were to come to Rome next year, you'd be treated to some what we call the verse anthem, and the idea of having organ, choir, and soloists. We're basically making a record of that this time next year. So we will tour that in Germany. We already know where we're going. So it really depends on what we're learning in the year. So we start in Michaelmas term. I have to retrain the choir because the nature of a collegiate system is that you lose a third of your choir every year because they graduate and then a third come in. So Michaelmas term is where you train the choir, then the middle term is where you consolidate, and then finally the choir is ready to go professionally by the summer, and that's where we are now.
As well as St. Peter's, you're also singing in the Anglican Episcopalian Church of St. Paul's Within the Walls,
that's
aren't
true,
you?
Yeah.
Do you see somehow a kind of ecumenical dimension to this work, if you like? You're stretching back to the pre-Reformation days, as you said at the beginning.
Yeah, good question. I haven't really thought about that. I mean, the connection, certainly the connection between the Catholic Church now and the Anglican Church is really, for me, only musical, because when you look back at the tradition, it all comes from the Catholic Church, you know, and then it just so happens that England managed to survive a Reformation, a Commonwealth, the very lazy years of the 18th century, and a practical dearth of activity in the 19th century, then the rebirth in the 20th century. And now England's sort of taken over in terms of church music, and it seems like elsewhere in the world, they're catching up. You know, certainly 20 years ago, there were very few really good Italian or Spanish choirs or Southern European. But now they're really coming up. Some very fine ensembles are beginning to appear. So I feel like we're coming together because of the musical tradition. Certainly in England, the churches are filled because of the music tradition.
Camilla, how important is it for you, if you like, as a kind of ambassador of this musical tradition, travelling to other countries and cultures?
I think as a group, the choir come together from all different backgrounds, and it really is the music that brings us all together. We are sort of study all disciplines, and it's just really great as a group of young people to have new experiences and travel to different countries. For instance, when we went to Dubai, we were sung quite a Christian programme, but it really didn't matter, I think, because it was really the music that sort of crosses all barriers, which I think is really important.
That's true. We went on breakfast television in Dubai, and that was quite an extraordinary experience. It broadcast, they said, 30 million Arabs across the world.
Mainly Muslims,
clearly. Yeah. And that was the question, you know, how can you sing this religious music in this country, and how do you think that we're going to react to it? And the answer is that, I mean, you're not going to understand the words anyway. And certainly in pre-Reformation times, even the singing men and boys didn't really understand the Latin. They understood the musical language, and you react to the music. So your spirit takes you wherever you need to go. So if you're getting excited about the music because of the religious context, that's one thing. Others get excited about the the notes themselves and where they go and how they're sung. So our job is to make the music sound as beautiful as possible.
My thanks there to David Skinner, musical director at Sydney Sussex College, Cambridge, and to Camilla Waymire, a member of the college choir.